Well, good evening, good afternoon, church, and good afternoon to you, Lord. Wilhelmina, honey, I think you might have to move. Yeah. So this year, more so than usual, I've had difficulty getting into the Christmas spirit. No particular reason that I can think of. So this afternoon, I'm hoping to bust out of the Advent mode and be energized to celebrate the birth of our Savior. One of my struggles this year was a challenge that I made to myself to preach a little different Christmas sermon. We all know the Christmas story. We've all heard multiple sermons coming from multiple places about a cold barn, a seemingly misplaced venue for Jesus to come into the world. So I was searching for inspiration, and I noticed a book on the top of my dresser. I'm bringing it for a reason. And that stack of books on the top of my dresser indicates books that I am wanting to read. So I looked through it, it was on the top, and it had Christmas in the title, and so I figured it was an appropriate read for Christmas time. I had bought this book a long time ago at the Shrinemont bookstore. I have no idea why I bought it, but I did, and it had been wrapped in cellophane for 4 or 5 years in the to-read pile. I decided to trust the Christmas in the title, and also that there were two serene deer sketched nicely on the cover. I was like, okay, this has to be good. I have a note for you, a caveat, if you will, that I've not finished the book. So I'm not going to try to tell you too much about what the book is about, since I don't know how it ends. But there are some undercurrents of things to come, and I'm guessing that I'll be saying more about it in the weeks to come. I invite you to attend and hear more. And I also have to admit that the book at first didn't actually grab my attention. And you'll be so proud of me. I resisted the temptation to go and read the last 4 pages. So like I said, the only reference to Christmas is the time of the calendar year and some decorating anecdotes. But what I want to share with you about the story is part of the conversation between two of the women characters, Jan and Francine, who are having a chat over iced tea and salad. Francine offers Jan a compliment about her Christmas decorating. "Einstein said," she exclaims, "imagination is more important than knowledge." "Smart guy," Jan replies. "Imagination is the mother of discovery." "Who said that?" asked Francine. "I did," Jan laughed. Imagination. Imagining the Christmas story, the event of Jesus coming into the world, is in so many ways unimaginable. We have to take time to imagine the story so that we can discover. We can find the knowledge that is the truth. And there's so many things that distract us from hearing the truth. It's difficult to get away from just considering the physical aspects of Jesus' birth. It was cold. There were animals. It was dark. They were an unfamiliar place. And who knows, that wasn't the actual event time. Who knows when it was? And really, the church just made it all up. There was no place to put the baby except in a manger, a trough that the animals ate out of. True or imagined, not a very regal beginning for the King of Kings. But I invite you to imagine the truth, all of it. There's so many things that keep us from hearing and imagining the outrageous significance of what happened that night. Savior of the world, is born in the lowest of human circumstances. And this Savior will radically change the world. Now, imagination is a good thing. It allows us the ability to understand things that perhaps are not understandable, but imagination is not necessarily truth. So the question that comes to my mind is, how do we know what truth is, and how do we get beyond imagining the story and believing the story? What is the truth about this night? So as I kind of alluded to, there's rebuttals to the significance of this night. They were all kind of animals. It would have been impossible for a child to be born and survive the circumstances of his birth. Angels aren't real. But here's the good news. We can imagine how cold and bleak the stable was. We can imagine that Jesus suffered way more in his death than he possibly could in his birth. And that piece of imagining takes us into a whole new realm of our relationship with Jesus and who he is. And angels. I can imagine angels. We imagine in a way that honors God. We have to imagine things the way that lead us to the understanding of the events of this night. Imagine the truth, all of it. Assurance. God offers us blessed assurance that he so loved the world that he sent Jesus. Whenever I do a search on my computer, this is a fairly new thing and very annoying, if I must say, the first thing I get is an AI synopsis or brief explanation about the topic that I searched. This one was pretty good, though. According to AI in the Bible, assurance is the Christian's confident knowledge and certainty of their salvation, eternal life, and relationship with God. Relationship rooted in Christ's work and confirmed by the Holy Spirit, providing peace and freedom from doubt. Well, we can't stop at what we imagine. We have to advance from imagination to knowledge. The knowledge that Jesus, wherever, however he came into this world, comes as our Savior, the Messiah. He is there for us when we do forget. He is there for us when we're not sure. He's there for us when we are afraid. He never leaves us, no matter what we do. Imagine the truth, all of it. I invite you to discover the truth tonight. There's an old hymn that says it so well. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. So I ask you, what is your story? How do you imagine Jesus working in the world? How do you imagine Jesus working in you? Sometimes it's hard to imagine those things, but we have the assurance from God that if we stick with it, we will not be lost. And the angels will declare for us to fear not, because God is with us. So you've been acting like you want to say something. You do, huh? What is it that you want to say? If you don't know, this is my friend Wilhelmina. And she has relatives who have seen all kinds of things around the story of Jesus, because she's a sheep, you know. So she was concerned about something tonight, and she wanted you all to know about it. But as usual, she's not going to be willing to tell you. She doesn't talk. But what she wants is for me to tell you. All right, let me see if I can get this straight, okay? This is a short one. Some of her stories are a little long. Yes, they are. So a lot of her stories are about great, 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 however many great grandfathers and grandmothers. But the thing that she was concerned about tonight that she wanted me to share with you was that sometimes people with all their their good intentions get the story wrong. They get the story wrong because they try to make it what they wanted it to be. Oh, yeah, I'm getting to it. She said, no way in heck could Mary look that good as she's painted in the pictures. And her grandmother, not that long ago, her grandmother, Whisper, was just unbelievably shocked to see the way that the church had begun and people had begun to honor the birth of Jesus in ways that had nothing to do with who he was or why he had come. Is that right? Oh, and really, the barn wasn't that bad. I'm a sheep. I know. Brother James Kester, St. John the Evangelist ministry, says, the journey Mary and Joseph took was one filled with fear. Yet they went with the assurance that God was with them. It is that promise of God's eternal abiding presence with us in the person of Jesus that gives us the same assurance to embark on our own road, even when filled with fear. So that we too will arrive at that moment when the light of God's love will pierce the darkness of our world. I invite you to imagine the truth, all of it. And then proclaim it, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen.